نستغفره واستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون. يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام، ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. اما بعد، فان اصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الامور محدثاتها، فان كل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعة ضلالة، كل ضلالة في النار. By Allah's leave, inshallah, today we continue our series concerning the book Bulugh al-Maram, the explanation of the book Bulugh al-Maram. And today, which is Tuesday, 20th of October 1998, equivalent is the last day of Jamad al-Akhira for the year 1419 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this class today constitutes class number 30. This is the 30th class for the explanation of the book, The Attainment of the Objective. And our class today, inshallah, concerning one of the prayers that been taught to us by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is salah, this prayer called Salatul Kusuf, the prayer at an eclipse. Salat al Kusuf is a prayer which been performed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the time that the sun of the eclipse, if it happened to the sun or to the moon, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to hasten to the prayer, that means he will do a physical prayer. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. And for those who have the book Bulugh al-Maram, you'll see this in chapter number 15, page 175. And today, inshallah, we're starting with hadith number 401. عن المغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: انكسفت الشمس على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم مات إبراهيم، فقال الناس: انكسفت الشمس لموت إبراهيم. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الشمس والقمر آيتان من آيات الله، لا ينكسفان لموت أحد ولا لحياته، فإذا رأيتموهما فادعوا الله وصلوا حتى تنكشف. متفق عليه. This hadith reported by المغيرة ابن شعبة رضي الله عنه. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. And the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhima, so the hadith is authentic. The Mughira ibn Shu'bah is telling us that was a solar eclipse in the time of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it happened to happen in the day which his son Ibrahim passed away. And his son Ibrahim was his son from Maria al-Qubtiyya. And this was one of his right hand was this. And this woman which had been given as a gift to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the king of Egypt. And to the best of my knowledge, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never married Maria. And she had remained on her belief, Christian. Okay? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a son from her by name Ibrahim. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim, son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, passed away while he was a baby. And it happened in the same day that the eclipse happened to the sun. That means you could not see the rays of the sun, you see darkness, like over covering the whole sun, and you see that the whole environment starts to be dark, almost like night time, but it's still during the day. Okay? So some of the Sahaba assume that this is a sign of sadness from the sun, the creation of Allah, for the death of the son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had to hasten to correct the understanding of the Sahaba and to let them know that as-sun, that the sun, as-shams, wal-qamar ayatayn min ayatillah. Inna as-shamsa wal-qamara ayatayn min ayatillah. That the sun and the moon is nothing but what? One of Allah's creation. One of Allah's miracles. One of Allah's existence. Okay, that Allah made them to exist. He created them. He put them there. And they have nothing to do with the death of somebody or the birth of somebody. Okay? There is no relationship between this and that. لا ينكشفان لموت أحد. Regardless of the sun or the moon. Because we can say eclipse to the sun, and also we can call eclipse to the moon. And sometimes in the Arabic they distinguish between kusuf and khusuf. They say kusuf al-shams or khusuf al-qamar, but both of them, kusuf and khusuf, it tells the same thing, okay? Eclipse. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the sun and the moon, one of Allah's signs, one of Allah's miracles, that when you see it, you see the greatness of Allah, you get to know about Allah's greatness. This is what we mean by a sign or a miracle, okay? And they have nothing to do with the death of birth of anybody. But what is supposed to be your behavior when you see something happen to them, like what you just saw of the eclipse? فَدْعُوا اللَّهِ Call on Allah. And صَلُّوا That means perform a prayer. حَتَّى تَنْكَشِفْ Until it comes clear and go back again to the same like we start in the beginning, okay? And this hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim. In another narration say, حَتَّى تَنْجَلِي That became bright, the sun will come bright again. وَلِلْبُخَارِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي بَكْرَةِ فَصَلُّوا وَدْعُوا حَتَّى يَنْكَشِفْ مَا بِكُمْ Okay? Which is the same meaning of. Hadith number 402
وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها
أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جهر في صلاة الكسوف بقراءته فصلى 4 ركعات في ركعتين و4 سجدات، متفق عليه. وفي لفظ مسلم وفي رواية له فبعث مناديا ينادي الصلاة جامعة. This hadith which reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, the hadith is authentic, reported by Aisha, and she's given us some explanation about the kayfiyyah, that how to make salat al-kusuf, the eclipse prayer. So number one, that jahara fi salat al-kusuf, that means he read out loud in the salah. That means like salat al-maghrib, you can hear the imam while he was reciting. فَصَلَّ 4 رَكْعَاتٍ فِي رَكْعَتَيْنِ. That means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed 4 rak'at in 2 sections of the prayer and 4 sujood. Okay? And this is the kayfiyyah of Salat al-Kusuf. Alaykum as-salamu alayhi wa sallam. So from this hadith we understand that Salat al-Kusuf, the eclipse prayer, is a performed thought sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Salat al-Ruku' consists of 2 sections, that means 2 rak'at. That it is from the sunnah to read out loud during the Salah of Kusuf. Also, the sunnah that you gather the people for Salat al-Kusuf without the regular adhan, but you say as-salatu jami'ah. As-salah jami'ah. This is the way how the person will call for it, okay? That means as-salah, prayer is a mean of getting you together, of come together for the prayer. As-salah jami'ah. Prayer brings you to come together for the prayer. Also, we understand from this hadith that is no adhan, no iqama, like the regular adhan, and with no iqama. Also, we understand the Salat al-Kusuf, the eclipse prayer, to be done in jama'ah. That we understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he taught us in the first hadith, that you continue in prayer until it comes clear. And you know sometimes it takes hours or hours. So that means you're supposed to prolong your salah. Now how is the salat al-kusuf, the eclipse prayer will be done? 2 rak'at, like you make salat al-subh, or you make the sunnah of maghrib, it's called 2 rak'at. But what you actually do, you make 2 ruku', that means 2 bow down in each rak'ah. You understand? So the first rak'at, as example, Allahu Akbar, and after this you read the opening dua and the fatiha and the long surah. Right? When you finish Allahu Akbar and you go for ruku', long ruku', Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, and keep glorifying Allah. Okay? Now when you say سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ, you did not go down to sujood, but you're going to start reciting again Fatiha and a long surah. Okay? When you finish, you say Allahu Akbar and you go again الرُّكُوع, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ, okay? For a long time سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. And after this you will go to sujood, to sajda. You follow what I'm saying? So in each section of the prayer, what we usually call it rak'ah, there is 2 bowing down instead of 1. This is the way how salat is. Clear? Okay, alhamdulillah. Hadith number 403. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال إن خسفت الشمس على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
فصلى فقام قياما طويلا نحو من قراءة سورة البقرة، ثم ركع ركوعا طويلا ثم رفع، فقام قياما طويلا وهو دون القيام الأول، ثم ركع ركوعا طويلا وهو دون الركوع الأول، ثم سجد ثم قام قياما طويلا وهو دون القيام الأول، ثم ركع ركوعا طويلا وهو دون الركوع الأول، ثم رفع فقام قياما طويلا وهو دون القيام الأول، ثم ركع ركوعا طويلا وهو دون الركوع الأول، ثم رفع رأسه ثم سجد ثم انصرف وقد انجلت الشمس، فخطب الناس، متفق عليه. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And the hadith is muttafaq alayhi, that means in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the continuation of this hadith or the other version of it, صلى حين كسفت الشمس ثمانية ركعات في أربع سجدات. Okay, this is the other version. So the difference between this hadith and the hadith before that is still talking about the كسوف or the خسوف of الشمس, the eclipse for the sun. The only difference here is telling us that the first raka'ah is longer than the second raka'ah. The first recitation is longer than the second recitation. That the first ruku' bound down is longer than the second bound down. And keep going less, less, less. Okay? The difference which in the version of Sahih Muslim, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did what? ثماني ركعات في أربع سجدات. That means in each section of the prayer, what we usually call it ركعة, he made how many? Four ركوع, four bound down. The regular prayer will make what? One down in each ركعة. The hadith before, he told us that Rasulullah make two bow down in each ركعة. The narration of Imam Muslim telling us that he did what? Four bound down in each raka'ah. Okay? So he say, Allahu Akbar, he recites Fatiha and a long surah. Allahu Akbar, go Subhana Rabbi al-Azim for a long time. Sami' Allahu liman hamida. And he recites Fatiha and a long surah. And after this, Allahu Akbar, and go again for ruku'ah. He finishes, he get up again, Allahu Akbar, and he go again and recite. And you go for the third ruku', and after this, سمع الله لمن حمده. Okay, and he recites again long surahs. Okay, and after this, you go again number four for ruku', سبحان ربي العظيم, again four times. After this, he will say سمع الله لمن حمده. All this time he didn't go to the ground yet, to the floor yet, for prostration. But how many times he bow down? Four times. And he recites four times. And after this, he will go down for sujood, two sajda, and all this you call it one raka'ah. Now he will get up for the second raka'ah, and he will do the same thing again. So, and this is narration of Imam Muslim. That it shows you that salat, the eclipse prayer, have more than one formality. Okay? That you can make it with two ruku'ah, or you can make it with four ruku', and you will find another version comes and they tell you about something different from this. All of them authentic, all of them been done by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As you see in the one that is going to be by Jabir, that he made six ruku', that means three in each raka'ah. Okay? And all of them been done by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you can imagine for salah like this, how long will take? I remember I made it one time behind the Imam in the Haram in Mecca.
And you're talking about at least, you're talking about 2 hours. For a long, 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 long time. Long time. And I, alhamdulillah, attend also one of the prayer of the Sitqa, speaking of the rain. And it's so beautiful, you understand, when you see that, when you see the things happening, that you hasten to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And this is the way how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns the Muslims always to be in touch with Allah. Especially when they see things like earthquakes, eclipse, serious things happening. Not to be living, you understand, like no feeling, no any kind of reaction towards what you see. Okay? But when these things happen, you're supposed to be scared and you hasten to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with forgiveness and making salah and dua. The next hadith, which hadith, as I said, the next narration was by Imam Muslim, and we said that it down into rak'at, which you have for prostration in it. The next one was by Ali, which is similar. And the next one by Jabir, which is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made 6 rak'at, the 4 sajadat. But you notice that all of them have how many prostrations? 4. So this lets you know that each was only a bow down and get up for salah, for recitation. Bow down and get up again for recitation. And after this, when he go to sujood, now this is the completion of 1 rak'ah. So in this narration of Jabir, which is authentic also, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did 6 bound down in 2 sections of the prayer with 4 sujood. The one that by Abu Dawood, okay, that mentioning about 5, this narration is weak. Next hadith, hadith number 404. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال ما هبت الريح قط إلا جت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على ركبتيه وقال اللهم اجعلها رحمة ولا تجعلها عذابا. This is the رواه الشافعي والطبراني في الكبير and in Sunan al-Baghawi, that also shows that how the action of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he see a wind, okay, or hurricane or anything like this, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he get down on his knees, okay, and he will sit on his, that his toes will be, his feet will be standing up and his knees down, okay. And he will praise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah make it a cause of rahmah, a cause of mercy, and not to be a means of punishment. Because you know, all the things became a means of punishment, alayhi wa sallam, for nations before us. The rain, hurricane wind, earthquake, all the things happening, okay? So when these things happen, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he always hastened to Allah. By salah, going to the masjid, or making zikr, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed 6 rak'ah in 2 sections of the prayer. Okay, that means 6 bound down in 2 rak'ahs with 4 prostrations. And he said, وَقَالَ هَكَذَا صَلَاةُ الْآيَاتِ.
This is the way, the prayer of signs. Okay? That means this is the way you're supposed to pray during any change or any major change in weather or in what you call nature, how you call the environment or تقلبات الطبيعية. The nature. It's what it is, which you understand can be earthquake, can be hurricane, can be serious rain. You think that happening, you understand? And so that the person, so this basically, this chapter was dealing with the Salah during the eclipse for the sun or the moon, and in general major changes in the climate and the nature. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. The next chapter, okay, this is another chapter, new chapter, chapter number 16, and also shows us how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he always hastened to the prayer. He always goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for needs, for wants, for hardships, for problems, that the prayer was the main refuge to him, regardless of whatever happened. Okay? And this is supposed to teach us something. That the Prophet ﷺ, why he been sent? To be imam to us, to be example for us. And we have to know, because we face problems. We face problems, okay? Different, and it has to be our way that we always go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we have a problem. Because the solution is there, is the solution in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that you need to show your humbleness and your weakness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to go calling in Allah through the prayer for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change the condition. So this shows us, the eclipse prayer shows us how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hastened to Allah in the changes of the weather and things like this. Now you see how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also hastened to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when there is drought, or that there is no rain, or a hardship, and can be threatened. The people, their lives, the livestock, the plants and the cultivation and the farms and all the things. So also, hasten to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. Okay? And this is chapter number 16 called Bab Salat al-Istisqa. Ay Salat al-Istisqa. Okay? Salat al-Istisqa, prayer for rain. Chapter 16, page 178. This hadith number 406 عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال خرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم متواضعا متبذلا متخشعا مترسلا متضرعا فصلى ركعتين كما يصلي في العيد لم يخطب كخطبتكم هذه. رواه الخمسة صححه الترمذي. This hadith reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. And this hadith is a collection of Imam Abu Dawood and the Tirmidhi and Nisa'i and Ibn Majah and Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Albani hafizahullah. He pointed this hadith to be hasan, that is good. Okay? Al-Istisqa means seeking Allah is assistant for sending the rain down. متواضعا أي منكسرا لله تبارك وتعالى.
that means humbling himself. Mutabaddilan, that means
tarikan lizina, that means he went in what you call almost like ragged clothes, and he didn't take the best of his clothes, okay? Before, he went before Allah asking. So he wants to show himself in the position and in the formality of somebody who really bad him.
You didn't go, you understand, with your best clothes. You go with your ragged clothes, showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am here, I am your slave, we are in very bad need for you, Allah. You see? So with his action and his outfit to show everything, how he's humbling himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. متخشعاً humbling herself مترسلاً أي متأنياً في مشيته that means walking soft, okay, not like crushing himself, humbling himself. So he humbling himself in the way he walking, the way how he dressed, in everything, okay. متضرعاً that means in the extreme way of calling in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And this is the description of Ibn Abbas to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he went out for the Salatul Istisqa, the prayer for rain. And after this he said, فَصَلَّى رَكْعَتَيْن, that he performed two rak'at. كما يصلي في العيد, the same way he made the Eid prayer two rak'at, so the istisqa prayer asking for rain is two rak'at, is not like the eclipse prayer, okay? Two rak'at, and he said like the Eid prayer the same way. But he did not give a khutbah. Your kind of khutbah, the, like you know what is this, like khutbah to Jum'ah or something like this, okay? And as I said, the hadith that is Hasan. The next hadith, which hadith number 407. This hadith which reported by Aisha, and for the sake of time, maybe, or anybody care for me to read it in Arabic? No. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, please forgive me. Is it okay not to read it? Or is it okay that... Brother, this is three sentences. All right. We read it also so Aisha can catch it some Arabic words here and see what is the Musanna and Jama'a and all this stuff. Inshallah. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت شكى الناس إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قحط المطر فأمر بمنبر فوضع له في المصلى ووعد الناس يوما يخرجون فيه فخرج حين بدا حاجب الشمس فقعد على المنبر فكبر وحمد الله ثم قال إنكم شكوتم جد دياركم وقد أمركم الله تعالى وقد أمركم الله أن تدعوه ووعدكم أن يستجيب لكم ثم قال الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين لا إله إلا الله يفعل ما يريد اللهم أنت الله لا إله إلا أنت أنت الغني ونحن الفقراء أنزل علينا الغيث واجعل ما أنزلت علينا قوة وبلاغة إلى حين ثم رفع يديه فلم يزل حتى رؤي بياض إبطيه ثم حول إلى الناس ظهره وقلب رداءه وهو رافع يديه، ثم اقبل على الناس ونزل وصلى ركعتين، فانشأ الله تعالى سحابة فرعدت وبرقت ثم امطرت. رواه ابو داود. حديث عائشة. يلا بليز وزهير. هذا حديث the collection of الامام ابو داود and الحاكم البيهقي also. And the hadith is Hassan. And the hadith that the people had complained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the lack of rain. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the minbar, okay, like what we have here, and put outside in the musalla, not in the masjid, in the musalla, the place where they make the Eid. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he promised them for a special day to meet them there. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited for that day until the sun had showed up, that means risen already, and passed the time of forbidden time for prayer. After this, he sat on the minbar and he made takbir by saying, Allahu Akbar, praise be to Allah. And after said, you have complained concerning the lack of rain. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded you that to supplicate and call on Him. And He had promised you that He will answer your prayer. After this, He said, oh, praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the world, the most compassionate, the most merciful, the King of the Day of the Judgment. There is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He do whatever He wants. O Allah, You are Allah. There is no deity except Thee. There is no deity worthy of worship except Thee. You are the self-sufficient, and we are the poor one to You. We are in bad shape to You. O Allah, send the rain on us, and O Allah, make it strengthen us for a while, and means for accomplish our needs for a while. And he raised his hands, and he kept raising them, and calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until he saw his armpits. And after this, he changed his rida, his coat, his thobe, whatever he was wearing. After he was wearing it the right way, that he changed it. Okay, the inside out and the outside in. Okay, or he put the right shoulder on the left shoulder, or that he put it like this. Okay, to show his weakness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, that a form of, a high form of humbling yourself of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing how bad, how you are in a bad shape. Okay, so he took his rida and he turned, after he was facing the people, he turned and gave them their back. And after this, he took his coat and he changed it. Okay? And after this, he raised his hands and he called in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he faced the people again. He came down from the minbar and he performed two rak'ahs. And after this, the clouds came and thunder and the rain starts coming. Immediate answer. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So we see again here is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the khutbah that he gave and how he humbled himself to remind the people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for them to call in Allah, and how he changed his coat or his rida, whatever he was wearing, to also humble himself, or hoping that Allah will change the condition by changing the way how he dressed him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. The next hadith okay, and in another narration saying that ثُمَّ صَلَّى رَكْعَتَيْنِ جَهْرَ فِيهِمَا بِالْقِرَاءَةِ, and he had led them in two rak'at while he recited out loud. Okay, this is something also to let us know the salah
for the rain that you say it out loud. People will hear you.
Hadith number 408. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رجلا دخل المسجد يوم الجمعة والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قائم يخطب فقال يا رسول الله
عليه الصلاة والسلام
هلكت الأموال وانقطعت السبل فادعوا الله يغثنا فرفع يديه ثم قال اللهم أغثنا اللهم أغثنا اللهم أغثنا فذكر الحديث وفيه الدعاء بإمساكها متفق عليه.
This hadith was reported by Anas, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, rahmatullah alayhim. The hadith is in the high form of authenticity in collection of al-Bukhari and Muslim. That while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the Jum'ah, while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing up, giving, delivering his khutbah, a man entered the masjid and say, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, destruction for the property and the
livestock, okay?
Our property, because there is no water. So the plants need water, the animals need water, the human beings. So this is destruction, okay? It's going to, everything is about to finish, to die.
And the roads are cut off, okay? So call in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rescue us, to help us. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was delivering the khutbah, right away, immediately he raised his hand and he said, Allahumma aghithna. Oh Allah, send the rain down. Oh Allah, rescue us. Oh Allah, help us. Okay. Three times. Allahumma aghithna. Allahumma aghithna. Allahumma aghithna. Okay.
From this hadith, we see the permissibility of people talking to the imam during the khutbah. If there is a correction, or there is a question, or there is emergency, or whatever it is, okay? That the person can talk to the imam while he's giving the khutbah. But people could not talk to each other during the khutbah. Okay? This is one thing from the hadith that we learn. Also, the permissibility of dua during the khutbah for this certain occasion like this. Also from this hadith we understand that the khutbah to be delivered while the imam standing up, not sitting on the minbar. Next hadith, page 181, hadith number 409.
وَعَنْهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنْهُ that means Anas also, is the reporter. رضي الله عنه أن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه كان إذا قحطوا استسقى بالعباس ابن عبد المطلب وقال اللهم إنا كنا نستسقي إليك بنبينا فتسقنا وإنا نتوسل إليك بعم نبينا فتسقنا فيسقون رواه البخاري.
This hadith reported by Anas. And the hadith is the collection of Imam al-Bukhari. And the hadith is authentic. That when they used to have drought, that
they used to seek istisqa, seek rain by al-Abbas, uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he used to say, Oh Allah, we used to seek rain while our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive. And he used to give us the rain. And now we asking you, Allah, okay, since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not alive anymore, so now they both the best among them, or the one who's related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his uncle, and they let him lead them in this and say, oh Allah, we used to ask you, okay, for favor us, you understand, because the Prophet here, or for the sake, you understand, of the Prophet, please give us the rain. Now the Prophet is not here, Abbas, his uncle here, okay? And we used to ask you, so we asking you today, with the presence of Al-Abbas here, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh Allah, please give us the rain. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give them the rain. And this hadith showed you that you did not call in anybody except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't ask anybody except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you did not take anybody who is dead as a mediator between you and Allah. Otherwise, why did he put the Abbas? Why did he not call in the Prophet? Alaykum salam. You see? So if the person is dead, you could not call or you ask Allah by a dead person. Okay? You could not ask Allah, you could not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you or to favor you or to help you for the sake of somebody who is dead. Okay? Because the Sahaba, they did not do this. They understood the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was alive. Yes, they will ask him to be their leader, their imam, and they will appeal to Allah, oh Allah, you know how you favor your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so give us the rain. But now the Prophet is not alive. They did not say, oh Prophet of Allah, ask Allah, or oh Allah, because your Prophet, because the Prophet ﷺ did, they did not do this. But they took other means and they get the best among them who's related to the Prophet ﷺ also, and they call in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah had gave them the rain. And the hadith, as I said, is authentic. Hadith number 410, Nu'anhu radiallahu anhu, tells the same, that means Anas. Qal, أصابنا ونحن مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مطر قال فحسر ثوبه حتى أصابه من المطر وقال إنه حديث عهد بربه رواه مسلم. This hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim is authentic and reported by Anas that shower of rain fell when we were with Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, who removed his garment till some of the rain fell on him, and said, it has recently been with its drop. Okay? That means just coming from Allah, coming fresh. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took it like and he squeezed something because just rain coming. Okay? And he said, it's fresh. Something just coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he wanted to touch him. Okay? So, and this is the sunnah that when it's raining, you understand, you can, for example, open your shirt and let some rain fall in you or fall in some part of your body, because this water is a pure water. It's a pure water. It cleans you and it's good. And this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's coming from up. Something a fresh, just coming, a blessing coming from Allah, is just a fresh coming. So he removed and he let the water, the rain touch him. This hadith shows us that the sunnah in the time of rain, that you remove part of your thobe or your shirt and let some of this rain touch your body. The meaning, as Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi, when he says that it's a fresh and recent coming from the Lord, that means it's a fresh creation. Fresh creation just coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. exposing yourself to the rain because this is mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith number 411, page 182. كان صلى الله عليه وسلم عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا رأى المطر قال اللهم طيبا نافعا اللهم طيبا نافعا. أخرجاه أي البخاري ومسلم. الحديث by عائشة is a collection of Imam Bukhari and Muslim, is authentic that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم when he used to see the rain he would say what? طيبا نافعة. He would say what? طيبا نافعة. Yeah. طيبا نافعة. Yeah. When the Prophet ﷺ saw a rain sending down a beneficial downpour. Okay. طيبا نافعة. حديث نمبر 412 وعن سعيد رضي الله تعالى عنه رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دعا في الاستسقاء اللهم جللنا سحابا كثيفا خسيفا دلوقا ضحوكا تمطرنا منه رذاذا قطا سحلى يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. The hadith is authentic and it tells you also about some of the prayer or the supplication of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم when he used to make Salat al-Istisqa, the prayer asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the rain. Hadith number 413 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم that means the general meaning of the hadith that he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover all the property with this rain and to be Allah with thunder in it and to be continuously. That means for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it in general blessing for the land and to be enough. Hadith number 413 وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج قال خرج سليمان عليه السلام يستسقي فرأى نملة مستلقية على ظهرها رافعة قوائمها إلى السماء تقول اللهم إنا خلق من خلقك ليس بنا غنى عن سقياك فقال ارجعوا قد سقيتم بدعوة غيركم. This hadith in الحاكم says the hadith is authentic but some scholars they thought that in the collection of Imam al-Ahmad which is not. I had a hard time really to reach a conclusion on it but the hadith in the collection of Imam Al-Hakim, which is reporting about that the Prophet Sulaiman, when he came out asking Allah for rain, he saw an ant laying down in its back, raising her hands and her legs up, okay, to the sky, and the ant was saying, "Oh Allah, we are part of your creation. We are very bad need for your rain." So when Sulaiman saw this, he said to the people, "Go back to your houses because somebody already had made the dua, Zareen, be coming soon. But regardless how good the hadith is, authentic or not authentic, Allah knows this, but in, as we understand, the Quran told us that وَمَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. There is nothing in this global except glorify the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't you understand sea to be too far for an ant calling in Allah or a bird or anything like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us they are nations like us. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all these things to see His greatness. And some of the righteous people, when they used to go for rain, they used to take the women, take the children, take the animals, everything out. Okay? Because it's not only that you're the only one who needs the rain, but it may be even sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give the people because this other animals and other creatures that been existing in the earth. Okay? Because you know, human being, he commits a sin. Right? And the drought can be as a result of our sin. But these animals, in some cases, I don't want to say can be better, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that some of the human beings, they're worse even than animals. Okay? So taking the animals and all these things, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you rain because this life thing, if it's not for you, okay? The last hadith in this chapter, the last hadith in this chapter, which hadith number 414 or 414. This is page 182. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم استسقى فأشار بظهر كفيه إلى السماء. أخرجه مسلم. This hadith from Anas that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he called for rain and he pointed the sky with the top, the back of his hand. Okay? That means some scholars, they explain this hadith by saying that he raised his hand so far, okay, to such a degree that you can see that when he raised them too far, that became twisted and the back of the hand now is up to the sky. While others, they understood that when you're asking for something good, JazakAllah khair. That when you're calling Allah for something good, that you call with the bottom of your hands up. You want to receive. And when you're asking Allah to lift some calamity, you call with the back. So this to get and this to lift. Okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was making salat al-istisqa, he raised his hand up and became the back of his hand to the sky. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. If you be patient with me, which is not time for Iqama yet, is it? Okay. We have about 15 to 24, this will make what, 7? Approximately about 7 hadith. We can go quick, we still, time is not for Iqama. I would like to finish this chapter, so when, inshallah, next week, if I'm still alive, we can talk about the funeral. Because there's no relationship between Libas and the funeral. Okay, so we can start a new chapter. So let's try to squeeze chapter number 17 today, if you don't mind. And this chapter concerning manners of clothing. Bab al-Libas. Hadith number 415. عن أبي عامر الأشعري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليكونن من أمتي أقوام لا يستحلون الحرى والحرير رواه أبو داود وأصله في البخاري. This the original of this hadith or the root of this hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari. And also the narrator here in the book of Sunan al-Imam Abu Dawood. And the hadith is authentic. And that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith considered one of the prophecies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? Telling us about something which is going to happen in the future. And he says, لَا يَكُونَنَّ مِنْ أُمَّتِ أَقْوَامٍ, some of my people, some of my followers, some of those people, okay, they will come a time which they will deal or treat two objectionable things, two haram things, they will deal with them or they use them as if they are halal. And this is al-hira, and the second one is al-harir. That means fornication, adultery, will be some so-called Muslims having boyfriends, girlfriends, temporary marriage, name it, all kind of things, and after this they will do it as if it's okay. That is not haram. And will be time which people will be drinking the khamr, the wine, and as if it's not haram. The continuation actually of this hadith, I should brought it here, but what from my but from my memory, that one of the things that came in this hadith, that is al-ma'azif. Al-ma'azif, musical instruments. Okay? That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that will be part of my nation, they will deal with these things as if it is halal, it's okay. Al-hira, wal-harir, wal-khamra, wal-ma'azif. Fornication and adultery. Silk materials, silk wear, clothes with silk, okay? And khamr, wine, and musical instruments. This shows you the same thing like wine is forbidden, music is forbidden. Music forbidden to buy, to sell, to give as a gift, to deal with it in any fashion, okay? But will be people coming that will live and deal with these things as if it's halal. But in actuality, what? It's haram. This hadith is a short version for it, or he gave the point that he wants, and we understand that from al-kaba'ir, the major sin, that a person to wear harir, silk material, like a shirt, or a pants, or a suit made out of silk. Also, fornication or adultery, or let's call it illegal thing, is haram. Hadith number 4116, reported by Hudayfa, رضي الله تعالى عنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نشرب في آنية الذهب والفضة وأن نأكل فيها وعن لبس الحرير والديباج وأن نجلس عليه. رواه البخاري. This hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, and the hadith reported by Hudayfa, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade us of drinking in the utensils of gold or silver. Okay? Doesn't matter if a pitcher or a glass or a cup. If it's made from gold or silver, it's forbidden to drink in it. وَأَن نَأْكُلَ فِيهَا, also to eat in it. A dish, tray, a spoon, fork, it's forbidden. Also, he forbid us wearing silk or dibaj. Silk. And dibaj is also another form of silk, but it's a little bit rough. It's not that soft like the silk, but still from the same thing. وَأَن نَجْلِسَ عَلَيْهِ, and also the Prophet forbid us to sit on it. You could not use it as a couch or a cushion or a rug. Okay? It's forbidding. حديث نمبر 417 بيج 183 وعن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن لبس الحرير إلا موضع أصبعين أو ثلاث أو أربع متفق عليه. Does the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم forbid the wearing of silk except the size of two or three or four fingers? Okay? That means like as a dumbbell, the sleeve can be silk. The collar. Okay? I'm sure Brother Abu Imran, he didn't make this concept. He needs to check with his wife. But still two fingers. Okay? Or as example, the bucket. Okay? This can be okay. But having something like the whole shirt silk, no. Okay? Inshallah. You're absolutely right. This hadith about that is lawful during the wedding, during the feast, but the only thing which is part of musical instrument is the duf. The duf is lawful during this occasion. And the duf is different from what you call the tambourine? Tamarine? Okay. Virginia. Tamarine. That means the one that has, you know, this metal cymbal, and they be in the round the thing. So when you hit the skin, it makes almost like the bell sound or something like. Okay, you know, like hitting metal together. This tambourine is forbidden. What is lawful during these occasions of marriage and feast, etc. is duf. And duf is nothing except the circle made out of wood and the stick. Yes. There's only one type called duf. And the duf is a circle made of wood, and you have this skin of the animal been boiled and dry on it, so nothing else attached. This is what you call it duf. This is the only form of musical instruments that lawful in the occasion. وَإِيَّاكُمْ Where we was? In Arba Asabi'ah. Okay? And this hadith is authentic, reported by Ibn Umar, that is lawful for something to be, as example, on the kala, on the sleeve, like two, three, four fingers, no more than this. Okay? I assume so. And Allah knows this. Oh, this is a different issue now. What? Oh, you mean the time for the neck? Oh, no, because there is a tie. The people tie shoes, you understand, with a tie. This is a shoe. Oh, no. Like, you tie on to the tree sometimes, you understand, or to the bed with the silk one. So, but if you're talking about the tie that they stick it in the neck, this is something else now. I know some people, they have no choice because in the office they have to be with it. This is, inshallah, but they should, as soon as they step out of the office, they take it out and put it in the passenger seat beside them. Yeah, it's late. We talk about a tie in a different... Brother Dawood Adib, he has a cassette about this tie and give you the whole history, the comments, the cross, and all this details. I'm not specializing in a tie, I'm specializing in something else. Don't ask me what it is. You see, I'm not specializing in anything, I'm only thinking that I'm specializing. Hadith number 418 before Aisha comes in, and Anas radiallahu an, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rakhasa li Abdurrahman ibn Auf wal Zubayr fi qamis al harir fi safar. Min hakkatin kanat bihima. And this is the exception here. The Prophet ﷺ had permitted Abdurrahman, may Allah be pleased with him, as well as Zubair, okay, in wearing shirt made out of silk. while they were traveling, okay? Because they have a hatta, is a type of itching, is like a sickness, okay? And the medicine for it was this kind of, or maybe because they were in a traveling and the only thing they can use, itching, yes. You see? So, but it tells it what is exception, because the sickness. Yes, spell is exception, not for everyday use, okay, but because he has illness or sickness. Like he permit one of the Sahaba, he has a nose, he broken, his nose been broken, and he permit him to have one made out of gold, okay? We talk about it later. I don't know if his wife, no, I don't think it was his wife, but his nose been broken. How? I don't remember now. Hadith number 419, page 184. وعن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كساني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حلة سيرا فخرجت فيها فرأيت الغضب في وجهه فشققتها بين نسائي. This hadith is the collection of Imam Muslim, reported by Ali, cousin of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him as a gift a thick robe contained silk. Okay? That exactly, okay? So like one silk, one this, one silk, one the other material. Okay? So when I came out with this, I can acknowledge and see the anger in the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as a result of this, I took it and I divided it among my women. Okay? Or the women of my household, his wife, his mother, and his uncle, wife, all this. Okay? Hadith number 420. وعن أبي موسى رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أحل الذهب والحرير لإناث أمتي وحرم على ذكورهم. رواه أحمد والنسائي والترمذي وصححه. أبي موسى. The hadith is reported by Abu Musa, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad as well as Al-Nisa'i and Tirmidhi. The hadith is Hasan, inshallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that gold and silk been made lawful, been made lawful. That means Allah permitted to the female of my nation and forbid it for the male of my nation. Gold and silk for women, not for men. Even if what you call wedding ring, still haram to wear it. Okay? Hadith Imran ibn Husayn radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna Allah yuhibbu idha an'am ala abdihi ni'matan an yara athara ni'mati alayh. The hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Bayhaqi, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a slave with some blessings, bestow money or what we call portion in him, that he will like to see the reflection of this. That means enjoy yourself. I'm going to go buy a pants for $2 from the thrift shop and you're making $5,000 a month. Okay? Because Allah gave you, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see the reflection, okay, the result, the impact of what he gave you, okay? Hadith number 422, عن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن لبس القصي والمعصفر. أخي المعصفر ده لونه ايه؟ أورانج ولا أحمر؟ لا. أيوة بس أنا ما زعفران يعتبر إيه أحمر ولا أورنج؟ برتقالي مضروب أحمر بقى على برتقال. اصل انتوا عندكم زعفران كتير. You sure? Speech was ready. You know what this word in English, saffron. I think it's called saffron also. So this plant will be take it and they make like a dye for the clothes from it. So when you get the shirt in it, it's called thawb mu'asfar, or this shirt is mu'asfar now. Okay? So this color is forbidden to be worn or to be used, okay, in your clothes. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, forbid wearing of silk and yellow clothes. Not really yellow, but you know what saffron now, okay? You know the saffron? Yes. You sell it in a small packet like this. Huh? What do you mean by that? Okay, so what? It's yellow? Okay. Okay, it's not yellow, but it's yellow. You go to the health food store. Go to the health food store. Go to the health food store. Or go to one of these organic or implant oriental place or whatever it is. I think even in Food Line you may find it. Or ask your wife. Why are you giving me? Just ask your wife and just say it. Make a shortcut. Ask your wife what saffron. Take it and put it in water and see what the color of it. Give a piece of cotton in it and look at what it looks. So you will know which one. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has forbid for the people to wear as well as the silk. Hadith before the last one, hadith number 423, page 185. وعن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال رأى علي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثوبين معصفرين فقال أمك أمرتك بهذا. That Abdullah ibn Amr, may Allah be pleased with him, he was wearing this shirt or this kameez, the two socks, and he had this color. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم admonished him by saying, what did your mother order you to do so? Okay? Did your mother? Because it's part of the nature of women, this kind of color is not for you to wear it. Okay? Plus the hadith about Rasulullah, the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. So we know from this previous two hadiths that it's forbidden for the man to wear this color, al-mu'asfar. Hadith, the last hadith in this chapter, page 185, hadith number 424, وعن أسماء بنت أبي بكر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنها أخرجت جبة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مكفوفة الزيت والكمين والفرجين بالدباج. رواه أبو داود وأصله في مسلم. وزاد كانت عند عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها حتى قبضتها وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يلبسها فنحن نغسلها للمرضى نستشفي بها. وزاد البخاري في الأدب المفرد وكان يلبسها للوزن والجمعة. Basically the hadith is saying that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to have jubba, and the jubba is almost like a robe. Okay, it's little bit thick and does not have buckets. It has only open for the sleeve, or sometimes have a sleeve and this is. Okay, if you don't know what a jubba, you can see the one in the library here. Okay, but Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, it seems that some people have doubted the matter of a person can wear silk as long as no more than 2 or 3 or 4 fingers. So what Aisha, she wanted to demonstrate to Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, she wanted to demonstrate this and show the people. She went and bought one of the clothes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he used to wear it for Jum'ah, and he used to wear it also when he had like representatives coming from other countries, and the sleeve and the jib, which is around the neck and this, it has what? It has like the kala, and over the sleeve it has the silk material, which is about 2-3 finger size, okay? And this is to show that it is permissible to wear something that been coffin with a silk material, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. And by this we finish until page 185, 30 classes, alhamdulillah, in Bulugh al-Maram. And next week we're going to be starting a new chapter which is dealing with dead people and funeral and prayer and washing the dead people and all the things, inshallah. And if anybody wants to attend the workshop, will be after next week, not this week coming, the next one, East Oran Jersey, inshallah. I'll be making demonstration there for janazah, prayer and washing the dead and all the things, digging the grave. If anybody wants to see it, catch it, ride with Brother Abdul Bari, inshallah. You want to fly with me, pay your own expenses. Any question, any comment, any correction? Since it's no, jazakumullah khairan. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Thank you for your patience. May Allah bless you all.